and suppose that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet, my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it, and he did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with power from on high. You may be seated. Oh, glory. Help us, Holy Spirit of God. I want to talk from the subject this morning, Jesus made a believer out of me. Jesus made a believer out of me. The distressing thing about our text this morning is that the disciples, at the beginning, they walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus. But now the Bible tells us that they are fearful. A disciple's initial response to the death of Christ was so devastating that they found themselves running and hiding. So their response to the report and evidence pointing to his resurrection was disbelief. It all seems impossible that one could come back from the dead, even after they predicted they would do so. Our disciples are hiding now behind closed doors. The Bible tells us that while they were behind this closed door, if you know anything about being scared when things are going on around you, everything in my mind tells me that there might have been a triple lock on the door. You know how we do in our current homes. There's a lock at the top, it's a lock in the middle, and it's a lock down the bottom. And we go and lock all these locks on our doors, and when trouble comes, we may have a hard time getting out. You're trying to keep trouble from coming in, but once trouble is in, you might have a hard time getting out. Amen. Amen. Because when fear sets in, the mind don't think like it did prior to. You may say, well, when I'm in that situation, I'm going to take my time and open that door. If you ever been scared of anything in your life, your adrenaline start moving in your body and your mindset will be totally different. The Bible tells us that Jesus appeared notice how the disciples reacted. Can you imagine, my brothers and sisters, that we're having a fellowship, a joy divine, and we're all by ourselves in a locked room, and all of a sudden a man appears behind in our presence when the doors are locked. I'm almost positive the door probably had a little squeak in the hinges. You see, they don't have that old we have now when you get, you know, real quick. And I just don't believe they did. And the hinge probably would crack when they come in, so they knew somebody was coming in the door. But I think about how they felt. And I can't down them a lot. Why? Because Jesus had never died prior to. The Bible tells me that we're living today. We have never died. So can't nobody here raise their hand and say to me what death is like. We don't go around every day hoping to die. And we don't want to die because this is all we know. But the Bible tells us there's a better place. And I hear believers all the time say, I'm not in a hurry to get there. I don't know if you realize it or not, but Paul says to be absent from this body would be present with the Lord. And I'm positive, and I see him face to face. I'm not coming back to tell you, yeah, you better hurry up and get here. I'm going to enjoy him before everybody else get there. So the Bible tells me that they were scared. One moment, no Jesus. Poof, here's Jesus. And so Jesus appeared to them. And as I looked into my text, around verse 37 and on down to probably around about verse 43, the Bible tells me something strange. Jesus is asking them, why are you troubled? I had to pause because I know you, God, and I know you know all about why they're troubled. But he sent a message to you today. Why are you troubled when the bill collectors come? Why are you troubled when they say they're going to repossess your car? Why are you troubled when there's no food in the cupboard? Why are you troubled when people are talking about you? Did not Jesus tell you in his word? You see, Jesus spent 3 years with them, around 3.5 years of ministry, talking to them about all the troubles they were going to experience when he left. I don't know if you're anything like me, but when you're in school and a rabbi or a teacher is teaching you, the master is teaching you, pay attention because it's going to come back to your remembrance. And when those, sometimes we don't study to show ourselves approved, and when trouble comes in our lives, we don't know how to handle. You see, Jesus didn't have a twin, so it had to be the Jesus. But if he appeared to me right now, one might think that he's a spirit. So Jesus had to show them that he's not a spirit. Go ahead and touch me, if you will. Touch my hands. Touch my feet. You see, the thing is, they didn't ask to touch him. He gave them the invitation. But they pushed and everybody down Thomas because he asked to touch. The reason why he asked to touch, because he missed the class when it took place. You see, Thomas showed up later and wanted to touch. Why? Because the Bible don't tell you everything. My mind had to get to wondering. Does that mean that he's doubting Thomas? Does everybody say he's doubting Thomas? How many of us doubt when we know he's able to bring us up? How many of us doubt him when the last time he was in trouble? It's the same God yesterday, the same God today, and the same God forevermore. Brought us out of trouble the last time, but yet when we get in trouble this time, we act like it's the first time. So are we any different than Thomas? When Thomas said, may I touch your hand? What if one of the disciples said, man, you should have been here, man. We had an opportunity to touch you. So then he came forward and said, hey, look, I'm a believer. Let me touch you too. The writer just didn't feel a need to put all that in there. You know why I'm saying that? Because that's how we do. We don't put everything in the prayer what we need to put in the prayer. We only put in the prayer that I want the new car. We put in the prayer, Lord, I sure want that new house. We put in the prayer, say, Lord, those shoes look good. I know you're going to make a way out of nowhere, Lord God. I got to have those shoes. But he said, but all you got in your pocket was enough to buy some beans and some hot dogs. But you're going to still buy the beans and the hot dogs. You're going to go get a loan to go buy the shoes. and then go home without the things that I don't. And then look at God and say, why me? And then you look at God and say, Lord, I know you're a provider. I know I bought the shoes, Lord God, but I know you're going to still feed me. And the Lord said, I feed those who are willing. I feed those who are able. I feed those who are no better in their life to mishandle, if you will, what I'm giving you opportunity on. How many times have we done that, church? How many times have we understood that God was working on our behalf, but yet we forsook God and took matters in our own hand? That's why I started putting me on blast, because I've been there, done that. Pray for God to move in my life, but yet I stepped in the way and blocked him from sending these blessings. My mother used to tell me all the time, you be bad all the time. She said, your prayer ain't going past that ceiling. And I started believing that. I started really getting magnifying glass, looking up there, saying if I could see those prayers. Because I'm wondering, like, Lord, you won't hear me. And I sat with my grandfather, Gleena, one time and said, you know, Mom said a long time the prayers go up and they be on the ceiling. He said, son, all you got to do is repent. He said, if you want to release those prayers from the ceiling, repent. And see, what the problem is that a lot of pride sets in. Pride sets in because we don't want God to know how nasty we have been towards him. We think God don't see us when we sin. Okay, where did I get that proof from? Anybody here sinned over than me this last past week? Are you dare not raise your hand? Are you been perfect this week? Have you got mad at anybody? Have you done anything unjust to anybody? Because you could have been perfect. But if I've done anything unjust and I did not repent of it, I've been keeping it real. You see what tends to happen? We doubt those who run and hide from God. Well, how can you hide from God? If they was in ministry with him, why did you stay with him if you wasn't going to believe him? It's the same reason why people stay in church. Because God is mine. You stay in church to see what's going to happen. You stay in church, but you don't really want to be there. Because I don't know about you, but every time I hear the word of God, even coming from me, I go home and feast on it. I sit around this table in your presence, and then I go home and feast on it all over again. Because I'm the type of person that believes I can't get enough of him. Yes. And the reason why I know he can't get enough of me, because I'm still here. Amen. And as long as I'm still here, I know God is still dealing with me. I know that he's still loving me. I know that he still knows that there's something in me that he can bring out to help somebody along this pilgrim journey. Yeah. You said we are sojourners. Why? Because God never intended for us to stay here forever. We got to be able to move from one place to another. And when we move from this tabernacle, where are you going? I must move on. And so when all things started getting new in your life, and I started looking in God's word a little closer, because Jesus asked the questions. And when Jesus asked this question, why are you troubled? Why are the thoughts? Listen to this. He didn't say, why are the thoughts in your mind? He said, why are the thoughts in your heart? You see, he loved a cheerful giver. You can tie your life away, but if it's not given cheerfully. They said, what do you say, Lord? Since you're so smart, what do you say about tithe? What about the tenth is in the law? He said, the Father loved a cheerful giver. If you're going to give that tenth and regret that you gave it, he don't need it. But if you gave it cheerfully, forget about the tenth. Give him abundance, if you will. If you want abundance in return. And I'm talking about your health as well as your wealth. You see what tends to happen? Everybody give God a portion of what they want in return without even knowing it. If I'm supposed to tithe, and I'm going to tithe because the church tithe, I give him what my expectation wants in return. If I give him $10, I'm really not looking for him to do much. If I give him more, so preachers start preaching about this tithing thing. I had to go and look into the word. If God is searching my heart, I don't even worry about the tithing. I cheerfully give to him. And I cheerfully give to him freely, because he's worthy and it's his in the first place. And I know whatever he allowed me to have to maintain, he's going to build in my life. Look at what took place. And for Jesus to give them further proof that I'm almost done, he had to allow them to touch his hand and to touch his feet. A lot of preachers would preach that they pierced him in his wrist. But the Bible says he showed them his hands. And he let them touch his feet. And when they touched, they felt that he's flesh. This is flesh and blood. A spirit does not have flesh nor bones. Blood don't run through the spirit. This is why Jesus had to cover us in the human body. You see, when they whipped him, they thought they could stop the flow. Come on, y'all ain't helping me. They thought they could stop the flow of the blood that reaches the highest mountain and flows to the lowest valley. They thought if I could put an end to that, that's what the enemy thought. I'm going to whip the blood out of him so the folk won't be covered in the future. So I come to be able to tell somebody today that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. And I heard the Bible tell me this. Because the Bible tells me that God, he speaks in wisdom and in mysteries. Mysteries in the Bible, what Paul was proclaiming to Corinth was mainly telling them that God speak in secret. Why? Because it's God that has to reveal to us. Where did I get that from? When I looked into his word, and his word tells me that he had to open their understanding. In other words, God had to reveal to them the words in which he was telling them so that they can understand the Old Testament prophecy. If they could understand the Old Testament prophecy, then they would never have doubted when they went into that room. Because Paul wrote in the word, and as he wrote about the glory of God, he told them, I have not seen, nor ears heard, nor have they entered to the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. My brothers and sisters, as I hurry this to a close, Jesus had to suffer. Jesus had to raise, as prophecy said, on the third day. But then it had to be something that he was going to leave behind for us. He had to understand now, my brothers and sisters, you see me, and then you won't see me again until I come. So right now, since you have touched me, I need you to be a witness. How many here are witness for the Lord today? Amen. Evangelism is a powerful, powerful ministry. Folk all around the world need to know. But guess what Jesus knew? Without a doubt, see, I'm still here. But while I'm here, then the Spirit can't come on. And all the way for you to be endowed with the Spirit, I've got to leave your presence. Yes. When Jesus walked with them, he spoke into them, and the Holy Spirit entered them. But the Holy Spirit left out of them. Why did the Holy Spirit leave out of them? Because Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And if I'm walking with you, then ain't no trouble going to come.
Amen.
They should have had a notion at the time in the garden that something was capping off right now. This is the same Jesus that kept them from trouble all this time, then all of a sudden he's giving in. What did he mean when he told Judas to get up from the table and go do what he wanted? They missed all that. Then yet in the garden, old man Peter is going to whip out a blade and cut off the soldier's ear. And I believe in my heart, when Jesus picked up that ear and put it back on that soldier, he made a believer out of him. I don't know if you realize it or not, but Jesus had to do the same thing for me. I've known God all my life. But I never got to know him until he entered into this vessel.
Yes.
It is in the channel of the heart that he had to come in. All my life before that day, I had the door closed. I didn't even know who was knocking on the other side. Why I didn't know? Because I wasn't even curious enough to open the door and take a peek. But it was one day the Lord had to allow me to fall flat on my face. He had to put me down to a place where I don't want to look down. I had to roll over and look up. When I looked up, it was right there at that moment that Jesus picked me up. When God get ready, my brothers and sisters, he will get ready and turn things around in your life. Sometimes you just got to go through the stuff you're going through today. But there must be a
Because if there's not a promise, then the just walk by sight, and they live by sight and not by faith. Come on and give God some praise. You got to be a witness for the Lord. You got to understand that God is going to move in your favor. You got to be a testimony for the Lord. The world needs to see that God is blessing you in your life. Is there anybody in here today will give a good report about our Savior, to give him all the reference for what he's done in your life? Lord, my body is in pain, but that's okay, God, because you're my Savior. Lord, I'm broke as a joke, but that's okay, God, because you're my banker. Oh, Lord, I'm so miserable right now. He said, don't you worry about it, because I'm your counselor too. All you got to do is worship me in spirit and in truth, and I promise you, I'll be right there. Anybody here know him as a healer? Anybody here know him as a healer? I tell you, he's going to pick you up, and he'll turn you around. Because I found out something, my brothers and sisters, that is so profound to my heart. It is so profound to my soul. Because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Come on and tell the Lord thank you. Because when I look back over my life and I see all the trouble I've been in, I know that Jesus came. Because he is the doorway for me to get the glory. He had to open up my heart. He had to pierce it with his heart. So I know when to shut up. He had to pierce my soul. So I know what my destiny is. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Because when I'm weak, when I'm in trouble, you will come to my rescue. Because the love of God.
So my winning can't be in vain today. That's why the Bible says trouble don't last always.
You may cry for a while, but it won't last. You do the math and write down your list. If you can go back and write down everything that hurt you in your life, I still promise you, you have better times. It will outweigh the bad. That's why somebody can write such a thing. God wouldn't allow you to live miserable, but he can't allow you to think that he's your genie. Sometimes we reap in what we sow. We treat, the Bible tell us to treat each other well, but then it didn't stop there. He said, especially in the household of faith. But it's the household of faith. If I treat you wrong in here, I'm no different to the people out there. If I treat you wrong in here, I might as well be out there. Because what God refuses to do is deal with people that's lukewarm. He said, you either form or you're dead. If you carnal, you're in trouble. Club it tonight. Bible study. Club it Friday. Prime versus Saturday. Sunday. Notice I jumped away from the milk for Sunday. Sometimes people be in church and they in church. You think about those pot of beans you have on the stove. You think about rubbing out, you turn the crock pot off before you left home. You thinking about the text message somebody gonna text you in church and you looking at it, making everybody think you're reading scripture. You see what I'm saying? Church folk need to wake up. God got eyes and they're everywhere. Everything we do in this life, we gotta have careful. One thing I found out about Jesus. If he died, if you have a heart like David to be after God, own heart, knowing how to repent and knowing to be sorry for what you've done. My people call by my name and turn from your ways. That's what Jesus declared. If I paid it and I say it's finished, paid. Then you won't come before that white throne judgment. But you got to know how to get his heart. You got to know how to change. You got to know how to come to him. You can't be in church, play church, not follow him. You can't be in church and take the Christian word and then go right out and hurt somebody. Feel it. Cut somebody out because they cut you off soon as you came out. First lady, every time we're on our way to church and people drive by, I say they're on their way to church. That's why they're driving. It's almost like going up 10:30. I say, oh, that's why they speak. This church folk that's driving dangerous out here, y'all do know that, right? You know that. And they will give you that free wheel finger, that freeway finger. Wait! You think in the other world? Pull up a sign and say, to God be the glory.